Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. Let's begin our worship as we stand and sing together, King of Glory, Risen Lord, first and third stanzas. It's printed in your order of worship. It's also number 221 in hymnal. May be seated. The Lord be with you. Welcome as we gather this morning to worship God together. And we want to say a special welcome to any guests in our service. Some are folks who have come back home for a little while, and we're glad that you all are here. Also, others in our community, thank you for being here. And we also welcome those joining us by radio or on the internet. We pray that as you participate with us today, it'll be a blessing to you as we worship God together. And we invite you to come and join us in person anytime here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. There are a number of things that I'd like to call to your attention. Of course, the memorial service for our pastor emeritus, Reverend Tom Calkins, will be this afternoon at 2 o'clock. There will also be a reception and a visitation following the service in the fellowship hall. We had a youth event scheduled for this afternoon. However, we've had to cancel that because of the memorial service, but we will be rescheduling that a little later on. But remember that our youth group and our kids club are on a break, and also our Wednesday evening Bible study are taking a break until August. But choir practice will meet Wednesday at 6. The applications for the two college scholarships that we have available to our members and their children are being accepted now, and you can see details about that in the bulletin. Next Sunday, June 8th, will be Pentecost Sunday, and I want to encourage you to wear red as you come for our worship that day in honor of the gift of the Holy Spirit. We also want to thank Linda Bazemore for being here today and playing for us as while Paula is away. Paula was originally supposed to be playing for a choir festival. However, Larry is sick, and so she was not able to go to the festival. She's taking care of him, so please remember them in your prayers. There are a number of memorial gifts listed in the bulletin, and the flowers today are given to the glory of God and in loving memory of Reverend Tom Calkins by Cecil Holloman. And the bud vase is in honor of the birth of Sutton Bell Forbes, a daughter of Cliff and Joanne Forbes and granddaughter of Tommy and Lisa Forbes. And so, Tommy and Lisa, congratulations. As we worship God together this morning, I invite you to join me in our reading from Psalm 47, printed in our order of worship, if you will join in on the bold print. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is awesome, a great King over all the earth. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with a psalm. God is King over the nations, God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. And let's pray together. Oh God, you who gave your only begotten Son to die on the cross for us and then raised him in victory and exalted him at your right hand when he ascended into heaven. As we gather to worship you on this seventh Sunday of Easter, we come into your presence thanking you for all you've done for us in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. As we focus on him today as our risen and exalted Lord who has promised to return in glory, may we worship you in spirit and truth listening for your word to us and responding in faith and obedience as we offer our praises, our prayers, and our very lives to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our exalted Lord, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 219, Hail the Day That Sees Him Rise, 219. Seated, and let's have the children come for the children's sermon now.
Good morning. Y'all know what the word ascending means? Like, if I ask you to count the numbers in ascending order, what would that mean? Right, one, two, three, and then they keep on going forever. When you have y'all, Mary Bush, have you gotten to algebra yet in school? When you get to algebra, us mathematicians like to tell people to put things in either ascending order or descending order. But that's what ascending means. It means going up. And when you're asked to do it in an algebra class, it's usually the powers, the exponents. We want you to go up. But today's Sunday, today is called Ascension Sunday. And that is when Jesus goes back up after he was resurrected on Easter, then he spent time with his disciples, and then he goes back up into heaven to be seated with his Father. So that's what we want to celebrate today. So whenever we can't ascend, but we can remember other things, and we can remember that he ascended for us, right? So let's say a prayer. Dear God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the ascension of Christ to sit at your right hand. In your Son's name.
The epistle lesson this morning is from Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may perceive what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God will put this power to work in Christ. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Thanks be to God.
The gospel lesson this morning is from Luke 24, verses 44 through 53. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in this city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. The word of the Lord. Praise his holy name.
As we come now to our prayer time, there are a number of folks we've been asked to remember this morning. Of course, we want to remember Larry Presnell, but also Kathy Brett is having some back and knee issues, and we need to lift her up. We've been asked to remember four-month-old Lainey Smallwood of Nashville, Tennessee. That's a family friend of Bob Turner. We want to remember the Calkins family, and also continue to pray for Genevieve and Chris Broadhead. So there are others as well that are on our hearts and minds, and we lift them this morning as we pray. So let's join together in prayer, and I'll offer our prayer, and then we'll close by praying the Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray. Gracious and almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you have blessed us beyond measure and in so many ways. Above all else, when we went astray and rebelled against you, even though you'd created us humans in your own image, you sent your Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, proving your amazing love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you for redeeming us in him, And we thank you that when he returns from heaven, where he is seated in glory at your right hand, he will raise the dead and judge the world in righteousness and set all things right in the new creation. All praise to you, O Lord, for your mighty works of mercy and grace. And we thank you as well, Father, for all the temporal blessings that we enjoy and for your provision for our needs. You bless us with family, friends, the food we eat, the water we drink, the air we breathe. You provide for all our needs in various ways, even when it seems that there is no way. And so because we know that you care for us and you care for our needs, we come confidently now before your throne of grace to lift together our petitions and intercessions to you, Lord. We pray, Father, for peace and justice in our world today. We see wars raging. We see violence in our streets. We see so many things happening, Father. We see corruption in high places all around the world. And Lord, we pray that you would intervene and that you would bring about true peace and genuine justice throughout the world. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are persecuted because of their faith. We thank you that we enjoy religious freedom in our land. And Lord, though we sometimes face ridicule because of our faith, we have brothers and sisters in other lands who face death because of theirs. And we ask that you would help them. Father, be with them, comfort them, strengthen them. And Lord, we pray for your church throughout the world. We know that in many places your church is prospering, and we thank you for that. We know in others it is struggling, and we pray that you would work in order to further your kingdom in every place in the world. We pray that, Father, for our church here in Murfreesboro, that you would work according to your will, that you would make us what you would have us to be, and you would work through us, that we would do what you would have us to do, and that you would accomplish your will and your purpose through us. Father, we also pray for our country and our state and our town, for our civil leaders at all levels, asking that you would help them always to do what is right and truly just for everyone. Father, we pray for those who suffer, whether it's physical need or spiritual need or emotional need. We pray, Father, that those who are sick, you would touch them and restore their health. We pray that those who are hurting in other ways, that you would comfort and strengthen them. Lord, we pray for those who grieve. And today we especially remember the Calkins family and ask your blessings on them. We pray, Father, for those who do not know you and are lost. We pray that you would open their hearts, that your Spirit would touch them and draw them to you. And Lord, that their hearts and their minds would be open to hear the good news of Christ, and that you would help us to be faithful in being your witnesses and sharing that good news. And Lord, for those who know you but are not walking with you, those who are backslidden, we ask that you would touch their hearts as well, and that you would draw them back to yourself and to your church. Father, we pray for this time of worship this morning, that in all things you would be honored and glorified. We pray, Father, that as we remember the ascension of our Lord Jesus today, that we would remember that as he now sits exalted at your right hand, that one of the things that he does is to intercede for us. How grateful we are, Lord. What a marvelous thought that is. May it be an encouragement to all those who are in need. And so, Father, may all glory be to you now. In the name of your only begotten Son, our risen, ascended, and exalted Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit as one God forever and ever. Hear us now as we lift our prayers in the words of that prayer that he taught us to pray, as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving is number 220. Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. Number 220. Let us pray. O gracious God, because Jesus Christ laid aside his glory and humbled himself to the point of death on a cross, you exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name, the name Lord. Remind us, Father, that because he is Lord, we owe to him our absolute loyalty and obedience, and all that we are and all we have belongs to him. Help us to give gratefully and generously as good stewards of all you entrust to us. Through Christ, our risen and exalted Lord, we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, today is Ascension Sunday. Ascension Day was actually this past Thursday, 40 days after Easter, when we remember how our Lord Jesus ascended into glory. But it's customary to mark that on the Sunday following as well for Ascension Sunday. And so that's what we're doing today. And our text this morning comes from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, which is the story of Jesus' ascension into heaven, or one of the stories. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Father, we pray now that as we look into your word, you will open our minds and our hearts, and that you will speak to us, that you will work in our lives, Lord, transforming us more and more into the image of Christ. And Father, that you will help us to receive what you would say to us today and to be obedient. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Famous last words. You ever heard that phrase? You know, lots of times we use that when somebody has said something and we say, oh yeah, famous last words. And the interpretation of that is, yeah, you're probably going to be embarrassed by that. That's probably not going to work out quite the way that you think it's going to. But there's another way that we use that phrase, and that's to talk about the last words of people who are about to die. Their last words. Last words are important. We take note of what somebody said just before they died, don't we? You can even find collections of the last words of famous people online. Let me share just a few of those with you. Some of them are sublime. The great inventor Thomas Edison, when he was about to die, here's what he said. It is very beautiful over there. Some last words are humorous, whether they were intended to be or not. The comedian Lou Costello of Abbott and Costello, anybody remember them? Yeah. Just before he died, he said, that was the best ice cream soda I ever tasted. The frontiersman Kit Carson, he said, I just wish I had time for one more bowl of chili. This is one of my favorites. The French grammarian from the 17th century, Dominique Baur, as he was dying, he said, I am about to, or I am going to die. Either expression is correct. Boy, that's something to think about when you're dying, isn't it? Bing Crosby, the great singer, that great baritone voice, not quite like any other. He had just played golf with some friends. And as he and his group were walking back to the clubhouse, he died of a massive heart attack. The last thing he said was, "That was a great game of golf, fellas." Often, last words are about things that really matter to a person. John Adams and Thomas Jefferson were the second and third presidents of the United States. At first, they were rivals, but then they became close friends in the cause of liberty. In May 1776, Adams offered a resolution in the Continental Congress calling for independence from Great Britain, and it wasn't long before Thomas Jefferson penned the Declaration of Independence, and of course it was signed on July 4th, 1776. In an ironic twist of history, both those men died on July 4th, 1826, the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration. Jefferson died first, and his last words were, "Is it the fourth?" Adams didn't know Jefferson had died, and his last words were, "Thomas Jefferson still survives." Sometimes a person's last words are inspiring. We all remember, well, no, we don't all remember because now it's been almost 24 years ago. But many of us remember September 11th, 2001, when Al-Qaeda terrorists hijacked those four passenger planes, crashed two of them into the Twin Towers in New York City at the World Trade Center, crashed another one into the Pentagon, and they had taken a fourth plane as well. And the passengers realized what was going on. And they realized that they were probably going to use that plane to crash it either into the Capitol building or the White House. And so some of those passengers decided that they were going to prevent that. A man named Todd Beamer organized them. They crashed into the cockpit, and in the struggle to take control of the plane went down. There was an open phone line to the FBI when they started to take the plane. And the last words that were heard from Tom Beamer were these: "Are you guys ready? Let's roll." And the plane went down. All 44 people aboard were killed, but it probably saved many other lives in Washington. In the ancient world, last words were very important. And when a great figure was nearing death, he would often give a farewell speech. Though it was not literally his last words, it was, in a sense, his last words. A good example of this would be Jacob's blessing of his sons in Genesis 49, or Moses' blessing of the tribes of Israel in Deuteronomy 33, or Joshua's challenge to the people in Joshua 24, or David's instructions in 1 Kings chapter 2 to his son Solomon, who would succeed him on the throne. Jesus gave some last words before his death as well. We see the shortened form of it in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but we see an extended form of it in John chapters 13 through 16, in the upper room discourses. And then in John 17, where Jesus prayed in the presence of his disciples as they were on their way from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane, as he talked with them, he talked about serving one another in love. He told his disciples how they're loving one another would show the world that they were his disciples, and about how loving him means obeying him. He talked about how they would face persecution for his sake, and about how he would give the Holy Spirit as an advocate or a helper or a comforter. In his prayer, he prayed for their unity, that they might be one as he and the Father are one, and that that would show the world that the Father had sent him. Now, Jesus' actual last words on the cross just before his death were important as well. What were they? Well, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And then to the dying thief who called on him, he said, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." He looked at his mother, and he looked at the beloved disciple, and he said, "Woman, here's your son." And he said to the beloved disciple, "Here is your mother," entrusting his mother to the beloved disciple's care. And then he prayed Psalm 22, which begins with the words, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Just before his death, he said, "I'm thirsty." And they gave him some vinegar on a sponge to drink. And then he said, "It is finished." And finally, he prayed again from the Psalms, Psalm 31, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And with that, he died. Those were his last words before he died. But they weren't his last words, because he rose from the dead. And according to what Luke tells us here in Acts chapter 1, he appeared to his disciples over a period of 40 days, and then he ascended into heaven. And during those 40 days, Jesus taught his disciples many things. In Luke 24, he revealed to them more clearly how the scriptures of the Old Testament prophesied his coming, his life, his suffering, his death, his resurrection. Here in Acts 1, as well as speaking to them about the kingdom of God, Jesus also commanded them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And what was that promise? It was that the Holy Spirit would be given to them. The gift of the Holy Spirit that we'll celebrate next Sunday. Jesus told them, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." In his very last conversation with his disciples before he ascended into heaven, they're walking along, and his disciples look at him, and they say, "Lord, is it finally now that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" After 3 years with them, after all these teachings after his resurrection, they still thought that his mission as the Messiah was to restore the kingdom to Israel. And Jesus looked at them and responded to them rather pointedly and told them, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority." In other words, it's none of your business. It's none of your business. It wasn't something they needed to know. They didn't have to know this in order to fulfill the mission that he was going to give them. During his earthly ministry, shortly before his death, Jesus had told the 12 that when he was in his kingdom, they would sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. When they said, "Is it now you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" what they were interested in, "Is it now that we're going to have all this power? Is it now that we're going to get to judge the 12 tribes of Israel?" But Jesus reframed things for them to show them how they would receive power. "It's not for you to know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Through His Spirit, Christ would be present with them and would empower them to continue His mission in the world. In this power, they'd be witnesses to tell His story, the story of who He is, what He's done, what He will do. They'd start in Jerusalem, then they'd move into all Judea, then into Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. That was the task he left them, to bear witness, to carry his message to the ends of the earth. And those were his last words before his ascension. And when he'd spoken to them as they were watching, he was taken up from them. He went up into the heavens. A cloud hid him from their sight. They're standing there just gazing up into heaven, amazed by what's going on. And then two men dressed in white, the way that Luke described angels, they say to them, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who's been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven." He ascended into heaven with the angels' promise that he would return in glory. So, what does all this mean for us today? What did Jesus' famous last words mean for us 2,000 years later? What's he saying to us through all this? Well, first, these words remind us that it's not for us to know some things about God's plan and purpose. Now, often we wish we understood some things about his plan and purpose better. We wish that we understood everything about his plan and purpose better. Sometimes we wish we understood about his timing, especially when it comes to how and when things will happen when Christ returns to bring this present evil age to an end and to bring in the new age in its fullness. Some folks seem to think they've got it all figured out, but folks, it doesn't work that way. Jesus said, it's not for you to know. What is for us to know is that in God's own time, Christ will return in glory to raise the dead, judge the world in righteousness, and set all things right in the new creation. One of my teachers said, God has not given us everything to know in the Scriptures, but he has given us what we need to know to be saved. And that's basically what Jesus was telling them here. You don't need to know all the details. What you need to know is about my salvation and telling others about me. Now, the second thing is that Jesus' last words remind us that we find our power for Christian living and service in the Holy Spirit, not in ourselves. He told the remaining 11 disciples, because by this time Judas had betrayed him and then committed suicide, but he told the remaining 11 that they had received power after the Holy Spirit had come on them. And now, the Spirit is given to all genuine believers. Everyone who is a true believer has the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, individually as his disciples, and then the Spirit dwells among us corporately as the church. And the Father and the Son are present and working in our lives and our life together through the Holy Spirit. And as we depend on the Spirit, he empowers us to fulfill the task Jesus has entrusted to us. And that task, Jesus' last words tell us, it's to be his witnesses in our Jerusalem, our Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In other words, we're to be witnesses to those around us and to those beyond us through a combination of witness and personal witness and prayer and financial support for those we send as missionaries. But understand, it's not a matter of beating people over the head with the gospel. It's a matter of bearing a winsome witness through our works and our words, by our lips and by our lives. It's showing people the gospel. And as they become open, telling people the gospel, telling them about Jesus. And notice the method of this task. We're to be his witnesses. We are to tell people what we know. We're to tell them about him. What's been passed down to us through the ages from the authoritative apostolic eyewitnesses of Jesus, and what we've experienced personally with him as he has saved us and worked in our lives to make us like him. It is not for you to know. You will receive power. You will be my witnesses. famous last words from Jesus, promising us His Holy Spirit to empower us to be His witnesses in the world. Let's listen to them and let's heed them. Let's pray. And so, Father, help us to be obedient. Help us to be faithful, winsome witnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ, of His life, His death, His resurrection, of His saving grace, and of the difference that He makes in our lives as we follow Him. We pray in His name. Amen. Our hymn of response this morning is number 488, Come All Christians Be Committed. Perhaps God's speaking to you about a commitment that you need to make this morning. Would you do that right where you are, whether it's trusting Him as your Lord and Savior, or whether it's being more intentional about being His witness, or some other need in your life? Would you make that commitment? And if you feel the need to share it, we invite you to come this morning as we sing number 488. Thank you for being here this evening. Remember the memorial service for Reverend Calkins at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Again, welcome to all of our visitors today. We're glad that you came and worshiped with us. Let's join together in prayer now. And so, Father, for your mercy and your grace, we are grateful. For what Christ has done for us, we are grateful. for what he does for us now as he is seated as, at your right hand interceding for us. We are grateful. And Father, we pray that you will help us to be his grateful, faithful witnesses to the world around us. And so go now in the knowledge that our risen and exalted Lord, who's seated at the Father's right hand, has sent us to be his witnesses. And as you go, may our unity in Christ and our love for one another in him bear witness to the world that the Father has sent him to be the Savior of the world, and that we are his disciples. Amen.